You don't really wanna fuck with him. Yeah, young teenage, infatuated with paper. Yeah, I had to get it, cause mama, she wasn't able. Black and white TV set, no cable. 40s in the fridge, chicken noodles on the table. I wasn't born with a silver spoon. Child of the ghetto, raised off a different tune. Watch it, Bob Barker in my living room. If the price is right, I can get you a whole living room. Yeah, them was my gutter ways. Back in the gutter days, no education, but the gutter pays. Through it all, came a long way. Who's selling the eight fist price to God play back then?
Sitting on the block and I'm doing bad. Dreaming about the things that I never had. Got me thinking to myself, I gotta get it, man. You can play if you want, I'm gon' get it, man. I say,
a little bit busy celebrating my birthday weekend, alright, in pure K-Known style, which is regular shit, but I appreciate the fam, you know what I mean, for showing me a good time or whatnot, but yeah man, this is your boy, this is your motherfucking boy, K-Known Uncensored. We got new music Fridays. I didn't necessarily get to the Ryan Leslie joint, I'm still looking for it, a copy, but yeah man. Let's see, where should we start? All right, Spencer Dinwiddie is officially a Los Angeles Laker. This was a good pickup, not a great pickup, but good nonetheless. I don't wanna hear no excuses, I really don't. If the Lakers fall short, there's no excuses, like for real. On paper, they're a top three team, along with the Nuggets and the Clippers in that Western Conference. I should see winning streaks. I know the refs are going to help LA get into a top five, top six situation where they don't have to play the play-in. But it's really up to the Lakers. I mean, we've seen improved play from D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, and then you got Dinwiddie coming off the bench. Depending on whether Gabe Vincent returns, whether Jared Vanderbilt returns, they still have a squad full of players. So I don't really want to hear any excuses. I think Dinwiddie adds some bench scoring to the Lakers. That way they don't have to bench Reeves or Russell. So it's less pressure on those two guys to score while LeBron and AD is out the game. So, no excuses. This Lakers team is complete, and that's where I'll keep it. Klay Thompson is open to playing a reduced role for the Warriors as long as he gets paid. I mean, he should. Klay Thompson's been inconsistent, and then playing down the stretch, he has cost him a lot of games due to the fact that, no disrespect, but due to cone on defense. He's not the defensive two-way player he was before the injuries. Klay Thompson's a guy that is currently where Ray Allen was on the Miami Heat. I don't think Klay should start. I think he's better suited in a six-man role, but what they're probably going to do is start Klay to start the game and only have him not play late in fourth quarters. Because when they play Wiggins and Kuminga together, defensively, they make a lot of stops just like they did in that Phoenix Suns game. And speaking of that Phoenix Suns game,
hey, yo, the Suns and the Warriors went at it. And more notably, during the final stretches of that game, Draymond Green made a clutch defensive stop on Kevin Durant. As he yelled and screamed in his face. There was a lot of tension going on in that game between Draymond Green and Jusuf Nurkić. Because if you don't know and don't remember, Draymond Green smacked the shit out of Jusuf Nurkić, right? And after that, you know, that resulted in a 12-13 game suspension for Draymond. And, you know, he had to go to counseling and all that. But it seemed like Draymond was still up to his crazy ways. And, man, got real chippy. Then, you know, of course, Steph Curry hit that clutch bucket. So, does this mean that this is a turnaround for the Golden State Warriors? Do they finally turn it on and get one of the final play-in spots? They're more than capable. Although I felt like Draymond, Klay, Wiggins, and Chris Paul all should have been traded. You know, they're pretty much stuck with him, and I guess they're saving Chris Paul into the playoffs because, you know, he's still out with his injuries. Hopefully he can last the damn play-in game at least. Yeah, Golden State seems to be on a run currently right now. Hopefully they can get back to where they were for one last run. Because Prime Steph is running out of time. Prime Klay's gone. Prime Draymond's gone. Prime Chris Paul is gone. But one player who is emerging that could bear the brunt of the offensive push is Jonathan Kuminga. Like, this dude's been putting up 20 like it's nobody's business. All right. Let's do some straight news real quick. Oh, yeah, before we get to that, Kobe Bryant got a statue that he picked. You know, Vanessa Bryant said that, you know, we got a Kobe statue outside of the Lakers arena. You know, and in my opinion, Kobe is the greatest Laker, and it's not even close. No disrespect to Magic or Kareem, but it is what it is. Many former Lakers and teammates came out to support the late, great Kobe Bryant, with many speaking on what Kobe Bryant meant to the franchise, you know. You know, Magic, Jamal Wilkes, Michael Cooper, James Worthy, Pau Gasol, Ron Artest. All showed up. Derek Fisher spoke. And Kobe got a signature look as the statue. Well deserved. The ultimate class act. And definitely my GOAT, even though I know Jordan's the GOAT and everything, but Kobe was more my era of basketball. Even though I did see Jordan in his prime, but I was very young. You know, Kobe and Shaq, my two favorite players to ever play basketball. 1A, 1B, the baddest duo to ever do this thing. You already know how I feel about Kobe, you know, and if anybody got a statue outside of where the Lakers play, it's Kobe. Yeah, bro. Shout out to the late, great Kobe Bryant. Prayers always to their family and everybody that was his teammates, coaches, organization representatives, and anybody that knew him. All right, let's get to the fast news real quick. We got the Miami Heat guard, Terry Rozier, has avoided any major injury as MRI showed a sprained right knee, and he will be evaluated week to week. Rozier suffered the injury Sunday versus the Boston Celtics. Man, Miami just keeps getting hit with heat because, you know, Jimmy Butler took a leave of absence due to the loss of a family member. So my prayers go to Jimmy and his family as well. Miami is in a lot of trouble with all these losses, you know. I don't know, guys. It's not looking too good for them. All right. Another injury. New Orleans Pelicans young guard Dyson Daniels has suffered a meniscus tear in his left knee and is sidelined indefinitely. He has been a key rotational player for the Pelicans. Yes, he has. And that's a very unfortunate loss. Yet another player. I know Alvarado came back from injury, so that's just messed up, man. That's horrible. Hopefully Daniels recovers in time for the playoffs, because they're definitely going to need Dyson Daniels down the stretch. Charlotte Hornets president of basketball operations Mitch Kupchak is stepping down to be an organizational advisor to begin an immediate search for a new head of basketball operations. I didn't realize that Mitch Kupchak was the one that was holding down that position. Well, let me tell you something. He did a horrible job. That's what one thing that I could say. He did a horrible fucking job. That's my opinion, because, I mean, outside of drafting LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller, what have you done? But two play-in appearances? That's not good enough, OG, triple OG. So he did the right thing by quitting. But Kupchak, man, that ain't it. Like, the Hornets organization is just one of the more shit ones that we have in today's NBA. Oh, man. Kyle Lowry officially signed with the Philadelphia 76ers after he cleared waivers. We all knew that this was going to happen eventually. You know, he's from Philly. And it's crazy that he's been in the NBA this long and been on this many teams, and he's finally getting a chance to don the Philly jersey. And what a replacement that they made for Patrick Beverley. You got to salute Philly, man. They've been making some great moves, you know, acquiring Buddy Hield, just bolstering the scoring until Joel Embiid comes back. Philadelphia organization has done well replacing James Harden. So, Lowry, you know, is going to hit open threes, is going to defend, is going to take charges, is going to take a lot of risk defensively. It's a great addition. And I can't wait to see Kyle Lowry in action as a member of the Philadelphia 76ers. The Oklahoma City Thunder signed center Bismack Biyombo to a veteran's minimum deal. And he had been solid for the Memphis Grizzlies, but it just doesn't seem like the Grizzlies like centers, bro. I'm convinced. Not even gonna lie, bro. Not even gonna hold you. But the Thunder adding him, that helps. You got the other, the taller Jalen Williams in the front court. You got Chet. Now you got an elite shot blocker in Biyombo. Yeah, it's a great pickup. That's a great under the radar pickup. A lot of people I see are taking advantage of the buyout market and free agency at this point.
All right, this is a great story right here. Memphis Grizzlies forward G.G. Jackson has agreed on a 4-year contract. And he was drafted 45th overall and was originally signed on a 2-way contract. But Jackson, in the absence of so many freaking players on Memphis this season, had to fill out the spot. And this is a spot that he ended up earning, you know? And I felt like G.G. Fell way too low in the draft. I felt like G.G. Jackson was a late first round pick. But it's good that he found a home in Memphis and it's balling. The Pistons are waving forward Danilo Gallinari. And Gallinari is expected to be at free agent meetings on had free agent meetings on Friday. He hasn't signed anywhere or committed to anywhere at this point, but Gallo is looking for a spot where he could win, because I'm gonna just be honest with y'all, Detroit wasn't the place for him. Even though, yes, I understand that he's a veteran presence and something that the Pistons definitely do need, but unfortunately, Gallo wants to win a championship. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't blame him for wanting to win a title. You're not going to do that in Detroit. So we ended up replacing Gallo with Evan Fournier, basically. And speaking of Detroit, Troy Weaver got niggas the fuck up out of Detroit. Yeah, man. It was so bad for Killian Hayes, that they couldn't find a team to trade him to. His management told the organization that they want to change the scenery. And they left his ass at a bus stop. A bus stop with a pack of hot dogs and a fucking dirty muffin. But not only Troy reconstructed the Pistons with, you know, regular players, I guess, but these are the departures. Killian Hayes. Monte Morris got up out of here. Who else got up out of here? Gallo. Danilo Gallinari got up out of here. Kevin Knox got up out of here. Gabriel Procida got up out of here. The draft rights to him. Got up out of here. It's a lot of people that I gotta check my files. Yeah, man, Troy Weaver. Yeah, and then he ended up bringing in Simone Fontecchio, Shake Milton, Troy Brown, Evan Fournier, Malachi Flynn. Oh yeah, we got, got Alec Burks and Bohan Bogdanovic up out of here too. So Troy Weaver did some shaking and moving. Oh yeah, we also got rid of Monte Morris as well. And then we acquired multiple second round picks and first round picks. So Weaver went to work. And then all of a sudden, you notice that the Pistons are winning more games now. So it's not like this experiment has failed so far. And, you know, you got to salute Troy Weaver for thinking fast, because this is his last chance, really. Because if they can't turn the Pistons around,
you know, they'll be searching for a new GM. But it was interesting and quick thinking for Trader Troy. OG Anunoby will resume basketball activities in 3 weeks after having a procedure done on his elbow. Once that Knicks team gets healthy, it's over. It's over. Because you add Alec Burks and Bohan Bogdanovic to the Knicks. That East, I think New York can end up in those top three spots because the way that Jalen Brunson's playing basketball is very exceptional. So you got to give credit where credit is due, in my opinion. Right, and last but not least, before we get to the shits, the Charlotte Hornets are waiving 2021 lottery pick James Bouknight. I was disappointed in Bouknight, man. I thought he was going to be something, man. Charlotte's had some rough draft issues because you remember, I hate to act like Malika Andrews, bro. I really do. I hate to do some Malika Andrews level shit. But remember when Bouknight got arrested with them pistols, man, and all that shit on him? And then Kai Jones started losing his fucking mind. Then JT Thor flopped. Like, the fucking Hornets. And then Miles Bridges, you know what he did. Yeah, man. Just overall poor decisions by the Hornets, but I thought Bouknight was going to be at least a pro in the league. Like, damn. He just ended up being another Killian Hayes. You know? Let's talk about Usher at the Super Bowl. I'm not going to get into the game because I don't do NFL. We just talk about the music side of things. So the boy Usher performed a medley of hits, and he squeezed the shit out of like a 20-minute performance, and he brought out special guests as well, you know? He ended up bringing out Alicia Keys. Oh my goodness. I love me some Alicia Keys. She was looking beautiful, but the people wanted out. But I don't want it. Shorty was sounding like Mystical. I came in with my dick in my hand. I made me want my foot in your ass, be cool. She was sounding like Mystical. Hitting them notes. I was like, Alicia. Alicia needed a cough drop, didn't she? But, you know, she did good enough to not ruin the whole overall performance, I guess. Because, you know, they performed My Boo together and everything. That was cute. That was Kurt. Then, you know, this nigga Jermaine Dupri looking like Where Art Thou Jermaine Dupri. Y'all know what this is. Shakespeare in this motherfucker. Nigga had them Annie socks. It's the hard knock life for us. It's the hard knock to life for us. We got kids. Nigga look like Shakespeare. Then Ludacris was looking like he was battling for the civil rights movement and shit. Was looking like a Black Panther and shit. Of course, my boy Lil Jon came out to do Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't do Lovers and Friends. They should have did that too. But it's only so much you can squeeze into a little performance like that, but I enjoyed it, you know what I'm saying? I enjoyed the Usher Bowl. All right, so we are here, you know, this is New Music Fridays. I forgot to use that in the introduction, but we're here. We got two releases I reviewed. I reviewed Kanye West and Ty Dolla $ign's much anticipated album Vultures 1, because there will be a 2 released later on this year. And then we're going to review Usher, the Usher Bowl new album coming home. So let's get it started and let's get retarded. Let's go through Vultures first. Sorry about the air in the background. I didn't mean to leave it like that, but fuck it, man. Let's look at Vultures 1. Now, Stars, Kanye bought out the choir, you know. When you got an intro, you know, sometimes you got to bring out the choir. I was cool with this being a track 1. Keys to My Life with India Love. I did not know that Timbaland did production on here alongside Kanye West. That's very interesting. Now that I heard the song, it's like, oh. No wonder why the beat kept changing and stuff. You know, that Can It All Be So Simple, sneak in for like 15 seconds. I like that part of the song. And the ending, where India Love starts singing with the choir in the background, that was pretty cool. Paid was cool. It was okay. It contained a little bit of elements of that old Kanye with the crazy sense of humor. And Talking with Northwest, I was able to tolerate Mrs. West. You know what I'm saying? Miss West. Miss North North. You know what I'm saying? This is Miss Westie, your bestie. Talking is okay. I like the second half much better with just Ty Dolla $ign on it. Alright. Back to Me with Freddie Gibbs. I love the song, don't get me wrong. But I feel like that Beautiful Big Titty Women shit got annoying after a while. I think if they would have cut that segment down to like maybe 30 seconds and then Freddie Gibbs' verse, it would have been so much better, because Freddie Gibbs shined on here. This is definitely Freddie's speed. As far as like content is concerned, and the beat was amazing. And of course, Mike Dean had something to do with it. I kind of knew it at this point. Hood Rat was kind of annoying. Kind of mid, if you ask me. It was okay. Just okay. Do It with YG and Nipsey Hussle. Let me tell you something, dog. This is a bop. This is a bop. This is a hit record. Especially, and I don't know why they let YG come on the cold part of the beat. No disrespect to YG, because he did good on here. But they had to, so Mustard got it. That makes sense that he had something to do with some of that track. I get it, because, man, there's some big names on here. But Do It, definitely my favorite song on here. Definitely number 1. Paperwork with Quavo, this was cool. Burn. The only thing that I was disappointed in on Burn was just the fact that it was only like under 2 minutes. Like, that should have been longer. And that was like a really good fucking song, if you ask me. I love Burn, bro. Again, it's definitely a top 3 record on here. Fuck Something with Playboi Carti and Travis Scott. I really don't like Playboi Carti. I think he's trash. He's only got really 1 or 2 good records. All the rest of his shit is butt cheeks. But I get why he got the fans that he got. And another Timbaland. Wow. Tim did his thing on this one too. I mean, Tim and 8 other producers, of course. Travis Scott did his thing on Fuck Something as well. Vultures with Bump J and Lil Durk. I'm glad they put the version with both Chicago guys on here. This was cool. I like Vultures. I like the track Carnival with Playboi Carti and Rich the Kid. This was cool. Just okay. It's catchy though. Beg Forgiveness. This was pretty dark, but it was okay. Good Don't Die.
I like this one. It was all right. Problematic was dope as hell. And I love King, the closure. All in all,
Vultures is an experimental rap and R&B album. It was experimental because they tried different beats, different styles, different genres. It's a risky album, but I like a handful of these records. I don't hate the project as a whole, but was it as great as it was anticipated? Absolutely not. But is it a horrible album? No. Is it above average? Sure. I think it's just crossing the line of above average. Because I do like some cuts on here. I do. But it's not a classic whatsoever. Last but totally not least, we're going to look at Coming Home by Usher. Usher dropping a new album. Coming Home with Burna Boy, this was mid. I wouldn't have started off the album with this song at all. Like, I think he should have I think this should have been really for Burna Boy. This fits better for him than Usher. So I didn't really particularly care for this one. Good Good with 21 Savage and Summer Walker. The radio plays this every 30 fucking minutes, bro. Even though I'm not an avid listener of the radio, like, they play this shit all fucking day. I don't hate the song, though. I like the song. I love the concept. I get it. And I did rank it on one of the best songs on my summer list. And I ranked it on my top 100 songs of 2023. So I don't think it's a bad song, but they definitely have run this shit into the ground. A-Town Girl featuring Lotto. This is very pop. Very catchy. And I like Lotto's verse. This is definitely something that I would play. And I think this should be like a hit record on pop stations. It's definitely that roller skate Usher. Cold Blooded featuring The Dream. This is produced by Pharrell and Dream. Like, this Cold Blooded shit is Cold Blooded. It's amazing. Kissing Strangers, though, I wasn't feeling that. I wasn't feeling that shit. Keep On Dancing. It's another one of those roller skating pop records. I like that one. Risk It All with Her. I know it was for The Color Purple and shit, but I just wasn't. I expected more for Usher and Her collaboration. I'm not gonna hold you. I was a little disappointed by this collaboration, but it's not a bad song, but it's not necessarily a song that I'm going to go back to. Bop with Hit-Boy in the Dream production. Amazing. That song is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. I definitely enjoyed that, for sure. Stone Cold Freak. Classic Usher and Rico Love. Do these niggas ever miss? Whenever Usher and Rico Love link up, bro, there's no breaks. Big bucks, no whammies. Ruin featuring Feels. This is dope as fuck. I love the concept of this song. Big, that song just wasn't for me. It's not a bad song. I do like the beat. But the track just wasn't for me. On the Side, Jermaine Dupri and B. Cox, man, pause. Like, whenever them three team up, they don't miss either. And On the Side, yeah, this is Confessions, man. This is that Confessions level shit right here. You understand what I'm saying? That's that Confessions Usher. you know, where he tells a story about the girl on the side and everything, you know what I mean? I like the records like His Mistakes and What's a Man to Do. I love those type of records that Usher does. I Am the Party. Okay. Jermaine and Brian missed on that one. I wasn't feeling I Am the Party. Let me correct myself. I wasn't feeling I Am the Party. Now, I Love You. Listen, this was an old Dream song that, you know, it was on an unreleased Dream album called Crown Jewel. I love this song already with the Dream singing it, but Usher elevated that motherfucker to higher heights. You understand what I'm saying? I Love You, definitely my a top three record on this album. Please You, very catchy, very dope. Definitely enjoyed this record. That should be a hit right there. Please You should be a hit, and I Love You should be a hit. Luckiest Man, I'm not going to front. Even though this record probably is better suited for Trey Songz, Usher killed this shit. Margiela, I'm surprised that Dream and J-Lack was lacking on here. The songwriting really wasn't up to par for me, for Margiela. It was just an album filler to me. Room in the Room was dope. One of Them Ones is definitely One of Them Ones. It's got a lot of hit potential. Standing Next to You by Jungkook and Usher. Usher remix. Let me tell you something. That's how you close a fucking album right there. Now that's how you close an album right fucking there. All in all, Coming Home by Usher is a great addition to his catalog. Usher, in my opinion, hasn't necessarily dropped a mediocre album, and that streak continues with Coming Home. How does it stack up against his other albums? It'll give some of those the records like Here I Stand and Raymond versus Raymond and Hard to Love, the joint he did with Zaytoven. I think it's better than the albums that I named. Obviously, it's not better than My Way and Confessions and 8701. It's not that level. It's knocking on 8701, but 8701 ain't answering the door. But 2024 Usher still got a lot left in the tank. You know what I'm saying? And I enjoyed this album. All right, y'all, that's my show. I appreciate y'all for listening. This is King Nona Uncensored, New Music Fridays for the week of February 9th, 2024. I'm gone.